Welcome to this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church. Today we have a message that we believe is full of practical and relevant behavioral teaching from God's Word, the Bible. We'd like to invite you to grab a piece of paper and a pen. Take notes as you go through this, looking for a personal application from God to you. Sit back and enjoy as we begin this message.
Begin this Advent season proclaiming the one who is to come. This morning in St. Charles River Church, we proclaim that as you did once come, you will come again. And you will receive us under yourself. That's what your word says. Because you are still our hope. You are our hope of glory. And the mystery, let it come alive in me. Let the mystery come alive in us. Christ in us. The mysteries of God. Can you imagine, Lord, what that would be? Yes, you can. And you have, and you do. And you live it out through us on a daily basis. Lord, I ask that you will bless and awaken us to the awareness of the hope of glory, the hope of the world. Living in us. And his name is Emmanuel, God with us. And every believer said, amen. Stand and give this King of Kings and Lord of Lords an amazing ovation. Father, we worship you. Father, we worship you. Everybody turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. I want to talk with you this morning about, we're going to wrap up this Oh God Help Me series, but I'm going to come back to it later in 2018. Is that okay? Because there's a lot of Oh God Help Me's. There's a lot of Oh God Help Me's. If you're in the restroom, come on back in or we'll turn the volume up double. Come on back in. Join us back in the auditorium. Are you ready? Oh God Help Me. And how many have a bulletin to live a life of generosity? To live a life of generosity. Now, immediately, I know what everyone thinks. Oh, yeah. Especially if you're a fairly new person to church. Yeah, those churches are always after our money. I honestly am not. You can ask these elders in this room. This congregation has had to remind me of the take an offering. So I'm honestly, I don't gather here to take an offering on Sunday mornings. Believe it or not, I really don't. What I gather here to do is celebrate Jesus Christ with you. He is the hope of the world. We just talked about that. But I want to talk with you about a lifestyle of generosity, not just a wallet of generosity, though that's part of it. It's a lifestyle of generosity. And I can tell you, I have learned so much from the time, you know, when I was 25, I knew everything. And when I hit 50, I realized I know nothing. I absolutely know nothing. Remember last week we did, Oh God Help Me to Live a Life of Wisdom? The older I get, I hope that the gray hair, what little bit of gray hair, don't say anything, Pam, what little bit of gray hair I have, I hope is actually producing some level of wisdom. And so my perspective is changing through the years. I have learned something about generosity. Do you know it's much easier to be kind to people and to say words of encouragement than it is to be mad at people. I mean, actually carry anger inside of me. And so God has shown me a lot of things through the years that this whole life of generosity is actually tied directly to my value system. It's tied directly to the value system that I hold to my heart dearly, and that is people. It's all about my value system. What do I value most? Things that benefit me or things that benefit you? And I won't get into that deep teaching of that, but I will tell you, God's word teaches if I value you and if I invest in you, investments have a return. Okay, got three that agreed with that. Okay. Well, I may have to have Pastor Carl talk about investments and returns because he can explain it a whole lot better than me, but I've lived it. I've actually lived it. Now I want to talk about the financial side real quick. On the financial side of investment and returns, I can remember when my father-in-law was 2 years away from being able to collect his Social Security. Help me with some ages here, Carl, Pastor Carl. So he was 2 years away, and so he was about 60 at that time. And so he was about 2 years away, and he was throwing money right and left into his investments. Because he had, you see, it was still investment time. And it wasn't collect time yet. It wasn't harvest time yet. It was investment time. And he was pushing as much finance as he could because the law actually states after a certain age, you can't pay in anymore. Did you all know that? You haven't reached it yet, apparently. If you didn't know it, you have not reached it. So there's good news in some and there's bad news in others. But there's a point where investment time is over. Everybody say investment time is almost over. See, this is a value system issue. This is not a wallet issue. This is a value system issue. For the person who's wanting to live it all now and have all the good times now, forget the future. They just live it now and they've got nothing in their retirement. I'm talking finances now at this point. They lived it, they spent it, they partied it away. It's all gone. And yet when they come to that place where they have to collect, they have nothing that they've invested. The Bible says we reap what we sow. You see, there's seed time and harvest. There's a basic biblical principle of seed time and harvest. I want to talk with you this morning, though, about what it is you're seeding today. What is it that you're seeding today? Turn to Matthew chapter 6, and I'm going to start at verse 19. And it says this, we all know this scripture, it's very well known. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust decay and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart is also. Now, that's an amazing revelation if we can get that, because investment or the idea of generosity becomes more about eternal things when we understand what he's saying here. It's an eternal investment is what Matthew is writing here. It's an eternal investment. Jesus is teaching it, but Matthew wrote it. And this principle of investment, of generosity, is a huge factor for us as Christians. You see, the idea of generosity is not just about your wallet. And I've stated that. God's word instructs us as believers to encourage each other. To actually encourage. And if you break that word down, it's to fill others with courage. That's what encouraging is. It's going and finding people who are discouraged and being generous with courage. The courage that's in you, that's operating in you. There's a generosity of courage, encouraging others. It's not just, by the way, I've been in churches all my life. When people, you know, when I just think of things like this, this is just the church history that I've got. When, you remember the special music time? When it wasn't so special? There were Sundays when it wasn't so special. And you'd hear, this is the compassion that you would hear in, especially in AG churches, Baptist churches, you know, Pentecostal churches, non-Pentecostal, but evangelical churches. You'd hear somebody say, oh, God bless him. Or you'd hear somebody cry out, Lord, help him through. Lord, help him through. You see, I learned to interpret. If they're speaking in tongues, they're saying, dude, you're doing a horrible job. I mean, that's not encouraging. That's not the kind of encouragement we're talking about, kind of the backslap encouragement. We're talking about really when you see somebody going through something and you see the struggle that they're in and you're not in it, for you to come alongside of them and to partner with them in it is to bring your courage into the moment, to encourage someone in the moment. It's an amazing thing. It really is. Now, I want to talk with you, jump to real quick to Luke chapter 6 and verse 37. I want to talk with you about it. After I read this, we'll just talk about the whole idea of generosity and the whole idea of investing in others. Now listen to this. It starts, listen to where Luke actually ties what I'm talking about to judgment. By the way, this is Tom's picture. If anybody doesn't know, I carry Tom's picture with me. If you don't know Tom, I'll tell you the story in a private conversation. Tom was one of our best missions guys. Gave his life to Jesus Christ on a missions trip. And he's with Jesus today because he met Jesus in Panama. Do not judge others. Verse 37. Do not judge others and you will not be judged. Do not condemn and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Now listen to this. Give and it shall be given unto you. What? Whatever you give, it will be given unto you. And he says this, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, it will be poured into your lap. It will be lavished upon you, what you give. If you're generous with compassion, if you're generous with words of encouragement, if you're generous with your finance, if you're generous with words to a grieving person. By the way, how many of us know sometimes the least amount of words you say to someone grieving are the best words you'll never say? I know people that want to be so always saying the right things in moments like that, and they walk up to a casket and they'll say, they're in a better place. Well, I know that's scripturally true, but what that wound is so raw right then, or you know, God must have wanted them there more than he wanted them here. Find that in the word. And they're trying to be generous. You know, let me fall back to last week. God help me live a life of wisdom. It's the words we don't speak that are sometimes the greatest words you've never spoken. Sometimes it's just walking up. Sometimes it's walking up and saying, dude, I got one that agrees with me. It says, given it shall be given unto you in good measure, pressed down, shaken together. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you. The idea of generosity. Oh my goodness, we could be unleashed and I don't even get it. There are times I don't get the whole idea there's a value system that's eternal. And from the book of Matthew chapter 6 that we read, this value system that's about people, it's eternal. And when we recognize that when we start investing in other people, there is something about it starts coming back to us. Have you ever had someone, you just speak into them. You might not even know them. You don't know them that well, but God gives you words to say to someone. Hey, you know, you're walking through a grocery store. You said, there have been more times I've walked through stores and there's a young man with a cross on his neck and dude, you're living and you're showing it. That's awesome. Aren't you glad you're sitting there? I'll have to scoot Pastor Carl down here one day. You have opportunities. God serves up these opportunities for generosity. I can't tell you how many years I drove by a person with a sign at the street corner. Hungry. Will work for food. And I drove by them with such judgment. I'm just being transparent with you. I drove by them with such judgment. I didn't know. I read that scripture. I didn't know it in my spirit. I judged that guy. I judged that family. Now it's none of my business to judge them. But I can tell you, when I judge that way, I'm shutting down blessings that God wants to send through me. And I learned something. I learned that when I give, it didn't say, I'll give it to you, then you give. Is that what it says? When I give it to you, then you give it away. That's not what he said. He said, give, and it, the thing you gave, will be given back to you. Everybody thinks that's finance, but he actually was talking about judgment. He linked it mostly to judgment in that statement. If you're judgmental to people, guess what's going to happen when you fail? If we're mean about it, if we're unkind and uncompassionate, when someone fails and we have the opportunity to restore, guess what comes our way on our day of failure? So when I finally started grabbing these things, I'm like, Lord, find me somebody to forgive. And he gave them to me. And there were things that were said to me through the years of pastoring. I had a lady walk up to me one Sunday morning. Some of you know the story. Lady walked up to me on a Sunday morning and she said, "I want you to know I hated you. I mean, when you first joined the pastoral staff, I hated you." This woman had been in church longer than me. She said, you were just so fake. That compassion thing, that generosity thing, that grace, that whole grace thing. I was so sick of your grace, grace, grace. I couldn't stand you. But you know, I've learned to love you. And I'm like, I am so blessed to know. So I go home to Gina, and you know the story. Some of you know it. I went home to Gina and say, "Am I that fake? I mean, do I come across as that fake?" She said, "No, the truth is some people have never seen real grace." Man, I mean, that was like, let me pound you a couple times and then I'm going to serve you a steak. No, pound the steak. Don't pound me. But I really did say, "Lord, give me opportunities for people to forgive." And man, he did. Through the generations, through the years, there have been more moments that I had opportunity to get angry or to just have compassion. And you know something? Do you know what the words, by the way, God's word talks about heaping coals, you know, heaping hot coals upon, they love them. We're just going to love them. We're going to kill them with kindness. That's not what God's word's talking about, by the way. That's not genuine love. I'm going to kill him with kindness. He treated me that way. I'm just going to kill him with kindness. I'll show him mercy. That's not what God's word's talking about. This is an authentic life of generosity in my compassion where I actually walk around going, "Oh, no, 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 no. Don't be hurt like that. It's okay that you said those words. Better me than somebody else that you said them to." Because I am learning. I'm not totally there yet, but I am learning that words, you know, the old thing, "Sticks and stones might break my bones, but words will never harm me." Yes, they do. So that was a lie. Whoever told that in elementary school was lying, or they weren't in touch with their own feelings or whatever. But words hurt, weren't, Mary Ellen, you were a teacher. How many teachers in here? You taught through the years. Raise hands. Hi. Anna, you got your hand up. Okay. You know that words hurt other kids, right? Words wound. And yet, there is something about also teaching on the side of the wounded, "Hey, here's your opportunity, and this is what we want to teach the church. Here is your opportunity." You were hurt? Wow, you're in a great position to forgive. Now I know that the hurt is real. How many know hurt is real?
Yes, it is.
How many know we're not talking about fake hurt here? Hurt is real, whether it is self-induced or induced by somebody else.
Yes.
Hurt is real. I've been hurt, honestly, some of the greatest hurt in my life were because of decisions that I made. It was my own doing. I did it to myself. Some of the greatest wounds in my life were self-induced. That's the truth. But that's when we have the opportunity to trust the God of grace and the God of mercy and actually say, "I have forgiven many through the years, and I'm trusting you have forgiven me." You see, grace is not just to be given away. Grace is to be received. And for those people who can't forgive themselves, I've met more people who do the, "Oh, and I'm nobody. I don't deserve the best of God." No, now you're finally getting there. You're finally getting in the neighborhood of truth. We, none of us deserve, I love that statement. You know, I don't deserve God's grace. No, that's awesome. You're finally getting there. I'm finally getting there when I realize I could never deserve it. That's the statement. I could never deserve it. But this is the thing. God generously gave to me, John 3:16, for God so, it's the shortest word in the entire sentence. It's the shortest word. So, it's got the eternal to it. It's the only word in that sentence that's the eternal word. It has no ending to it. For God so loved me. He so adores me that it is amazing. He lavishly, generously gives me mercy and grace so that I can do what with it? Hoard it? No, because in the Message Bible, it actually says, don't hoard up on earth things that moth and rust will decay. Don't hoard it. I love Message Bible. I love the Amplified as well. Message actually says, don't hoard those things that are good. Give them away. It's a lifestyle of saying, you know, I will tell you, I live with the most generous woman that I could have ever imagined living with. There have been times we've pulled up now to stoplights. We're racing. And I'm not saying this to do anything other than it's actually freed us up. So we're racing into, she's going for her purse. I'm going for my whatever cash she's allowed me to have in my wallet. I'm teasing. I'm joking. I get my allowance once a week. It's all ones. No, that's not true. That is not true. But we're racing with each other. And what I find is her bill is usually bigger than my bill at the stoplight. There's this one guy I love giving to down at Brentwood and 40. You ever seen him? When you're getting off at the Brentwood exit, you go down to the bottom of the exit, you turn left, go to the mall, because we like malls. I'm one of those rare males that actually likes to go shopping. And Gene and I see that guy sitting there all the time. Now, I will tell you, I love that guy. There is something about that guy's been there forever. And I don't know if he's really homeless. I don't really, you know, that's not my issue. I never judge that anymore. But when I finally got to the point where I stopped judging people and realized that it wasn't, what I came to was a place of realizing that compassion wasn't judgeable. Y'all know what I mean? Compassion wasn't an option for me any longer. You see, generosity was displayed at me at the cross. For God so loved the world that he gave his only, he didn't think about it. It wasn't let me weigh this out here. Should I send my, there's no mention of that there. There's no mention of that. But for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten son, so that whosoever, it's an open invitation. If we would live our lives in a Christ-like manner, because after all, isn't that the goal? To be more Christ-like for you and for me, that's the goal. If we would live our lives to be more Christ-like and to love people the way God loves people, I don't know that it'll ever be attainable here on this earth, but I do know this, it's worth striving for because God gave it. Stand with me if you would, because God gave it. Because God gave it. Just stand with me. I'm not going to dismiss. Don't worry. People look at me like, no, I'm not dismissing. I want you to be standing for just a moment. And Beth is going to play something. I want to ask you something. How many of you would like, we have a few minutes before I'm going to turn this over to Pastor Mike. But we have a few minutes. How many of you, close your eyes just for a moment. Everybody bow your heads. How many of you have lived a life, the truth is, it's not been as generous as what you know God wants you to be towards people? How many, if that's you, just raise your hand. I just leave it up for just a second. Be bold. My hands up, my foot's up. I couldn't lift both feet because they would be if I was allowed to. My hands, I haven't lived a life that's as generous as what God wants me to be with either my words or my encouragement, my forgiveness, my finance, whatever that is. There's maybe some area. I love some of these young guys to my left. They got both hands raised. They know. They somehow God is showing them what they're talking about, what God is saying here. God, just teach me. I want everybody just to repeat this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, today is a new day. I believe that you're giving me, through your goodness and compassion, a new heart for people. More compassionate than ever before. More generous than ever before. I receive today the heart of Christ of generosity, compassion, and amazing grace. Send it through me so that I can give to others. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, give the Lord a huge hand, will you?
We hope you found this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church both beneficial and enjoyable. If you're ever in the area, please come by and visit us at 810 Westwood Industrial Park Drive, Weldon Springs, Missouri, 63304. You can also reach us online at www.stcharlesriverchurch.org.